biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys, the podcast. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got most of the bad boys here with me. We're going to talk. We're going to have to start our recount. And we thank everybody now for hanging out with us. And if you're on the live chat, by all means, put in a comment, and we'll try to get that on as we're while we're on as well. And if you're listening to us on a podcast, thanks for tuning in. We have three good, interesting stories. And how can we not start off by what has happened this past weekend with Zelina? Our first count. This comes from WrestlingNews.co and comes from SportsKita, which, of course, all originated from Wrestling Observer. But, But theirs is titled Backstage News on What Led to Zelina Vega's Firing. Resentment within WWE. In SportsKita is News Labor Union President Reaches Zelina Vega Released WWE Problem. So the article pretty much talks about what happened in terms of Zelina being released from WWE because of the idea of her having her Twitch channel still. Now, I'll just kind of read from you exactly what Mr. Meltzer kind of put down, and then we can go from there. He says, essentially, as everyone knows, the talent was given the time frame to get rid of their Twitch and Cameo accounts. And during that time frame, Zelina Vega didn't get rid of it, and she opened an OnlyFans account. And the backstory on this is that it's funny because one person kind of told me when the thing went down that there are a couple of women that are making more money with their social media than they're making at WWE, and they're going to be real interesting, And one of those is Zelina Vega, you know. And you know, it goes on there. But first off, that right there within itself is telling, right? When you can make more money on your social media account, your Cameo account, I should say, then you actually working for the promotion. That alone should open a discussion as to why and how can this be changed to not even have something like this happening. So, fellas, let's talk about it. Also, the president of SAG reached out to Vega on Twitter, and that there is mainstream media interested in this story. Of course, Andrew Yang has already stated several times that he plans on pushing for legislation once President-elect Joe Biden takes office. So we will see where that goes. But I going back to the Screen Actors Guild, and I know with you, Matt Michaels, you probably could get a little bit more information, being that you were more associated with this information. And I guess that stands for the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. The labor union has more than 16,000 people, you know, which is pretty big. And it says that Gabriel Carteris, who's the person that's running that organization, I'm assuming, thanks Zelina Vega for staying firm to her stand against WWE third party edicts, and also voiced her opinion, voiced her support, I'm sorry, for Zelina, for those that for what she is standing for right now. So guys, either one of you can start off. What's your whole story with this, with Zelina? I know last week we kind of talked about Paige. I remember we did a report saying Paige was going to continue on her account. I don't know what come out of that. I haven't heard anything. But Zelina Vega seemed to be the first one to go down in this whole sort of system. What's your take? Anyone want to jump in that?
I'll go.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I think that ultimately this brings to light, you know, yet again, the conversation that there does need to be a union for professional wrestlers. Whether that is something that, you know, they're absorbed under the SAG organization, or if there's a new labor union organization, something does need to be put into place.
Yeah.
And now, while it can be said that labor unions tend to shield the underperforming members in their ranks from time to time, there are certain examples of that. Mm-hmm. However, there's nothing in place. There is a need for it. Problem, reaction, solution. Mm-hmm. And at this point, this is the best solution to protect everybody that needs to be protected. And these men and women that are going out there risking their lives day in and day out for our entertainment deserve it.
What's your take on that, Simon Street?
It has a lot to do exactly with Sin City Steve was saying. You know, let's also look in the article did touch base on it. Is a lot of people during this time of COVID are looking for extra ways to make money. And a lot of that is streaming. A lot of that is if they have an OnlyFans, you know, account or with a subscription or anything like that, anything they can do to make extra ends because they're not making the same amount of money, at least in the beginning part. What I find interesting is with this happening with Zelina Vega, I think of Paige, yes, but I also think of one person that we haven't mentioned that she is not under, as far as I know, WWE contract, but I do know that at any moment, if she even winked and said she wanted to come back to WWE, they would move heaven and earth to make it happen. And she is a very large streamer now on Facebook Gaming, and that's Ronda Rousey. So my question is what's good for the goose? Is it good for the gander? Or is it because that Zelina Vega was somebody that they felt they could kind of put their thumb on and discard to either A, I believe, make an example to put some fear in other people? Or is it just a thing that maybe because she did stand firm and stand up for herself, and that's something we know as history goes on. If you totem pole, but she definitely went on the top to be standing up for what she believed in. And, you know, WWE, just tell her, get gone, you're fired.
Yeah, and I guess she had mentioned about the idea of supporting unionization in the past. And, you know, that's like the one word I guess you shouldn't say at a job that that definitely doesn't want that to happen. So it's very interesting. I will say this, Matt Michaels, it does say, though, that on the flip side, and this is coming back from Meltzer, that from WWE standpoint, that he knows where they're coming from. We own, speaking of WWE, your name, and you're trying to make money off essentially your wrestling name and not your real name. And also from a corporate standpoint, they want you to do your own Twitch deal. They're working on it right now. They saw the money that certain people were making. So it's like, we should be making that money. It's our company. What's your take on when you hear that from WWE's version of that?
Well, I guess my first, the first instinct is, it's all hearsay on that end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't necessarily really nail down what is actually happening when it comes to what their overall goal is. You know, there's a couple factors here. Okay. One is... okay. I'm going to start with SAG.
Okay.
And unions in general. So for the wrestlers to get a union, you have to be sponsored by a union. All right. That's how it works. You have to have another union basically put forth the sponsorships that you can incorporate into a unionship. Mm-hmm. My problem with SAG is very simple, and that is this is something that if Andrew Yang would have never said anything about it, SAG would have never said anything about it. Mm-hmm. SAG has never, in all these years, since Jesse first brought it up in 1987-ish, when, you know, there was this whole idea that, you know, that this got kiboshed back then. SAG has never taken any steps to openly embrace or endorse wrestlers as part of a union. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's interesting because the person who wrote the article did not necessarily know much about SAG itself. Based off of the way they make it sound like SAG almost picks and chooses who are members. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that 16,000 is probably a very, very low end estimate. 16,000 might be a number of actually working actors who qualify for union benefits, including the health care,
because that's everybody in the film industry. We're talking like hairstyle. No,
just actors.
Just actors. Okay. Just actors,
performers. Okay. Understandable. So performers.
Okay.
There are all these other unions, shoot offs. That is Directors Guild and
gotcha,
etc.
Writers Guild.
Okay.
Right. Writers Guild, and then you have IATSE, which is for your technical, you know, mm-hmm. your lighter,
sure,
and riggers. The thing is, though, is that most of us who aren't, you know, on a regular TV show or booking commercials regularly or whatever, we still have to pay dues every single year. Okay. But we don't get any benefits. Okay. So what SAG does is they give you good health care and stuff, but you got to meet a performer's minimum. Well, wrestlers qualify for that.
Yeah.
Because it's a weekly fucking show.
Right.
And, you know, that is something that should have been looked into by SAG years ago. Now, the WWE also, this whisper just came out, and that is no more house shows, most likely.
Mm, yeah.
So, they actually... And if Uncle Brucey is listening, I'm sure you probably know this, and you guys are probably a little smarter if you want to protect the unionizing, and that is this. The way that the company got around the sports athletic commissions was by saying they were entertainment. Now, by saying you're entertainment and you don't have any house shows running anymore, you are now essentially a TV product exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a better case if you're SAG of being able to say, well, wait a minute, these guys aren't, you know, sports athletes who are going in front of an audience to perform a game. You guys are television players who are literally putting out a TV product every week, and that's where these guys are making their money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to get messy if, in fact, Andrew Yang does get a position in the cabinet that deals with labor.
So,
because he's a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Because when's the last time you heard of a politician,
right,
which he technically isn't really, but because he potentially has a door for a cabinet position, now you'd have someone who is a wrestling fan in a position of politically now motivating and gearing up to essentially help wrestlers get the union.
I guess my question is, if somehow it came down that now a union has to be started within wrestling organizations or WWE specifically, however that works. What then do you think would be the repercussions of that? What do you think Vince would do? I'm assuming he will still continue with WWE, but what do you think?
I know it's just speculating,
but I'm just curious as to.
No, it's a very, it's no, you're asking the exact question, because this is part two of this nightmare scenario of getting wrestlers a union.
Mm-hmm.
And that is this: AEW, WWE, Impact Wrestling, ROH, New Japan, and potentially even, let's say, Dave Marquez, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. You know, the whatever television products that he has his hand into. Okay. So the problem is this: if the wrestlers are formed into a union in its own, separate of SAG. Okay.
Okay.
Now you have a potential where your independent contractors who are not on TV are not part of those major companies, right? They can still stay independent contractors. So they can wrestle for, you know, Fred Smith in Indiana for $15.
Right.
Okay. That is literally independent wrestling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, it gets fuzzy now, because if you're requiring wrestlers to be in the union, do you require everyone who is a professional wrestler to be part of the union?
Mm-hmm.
If you do, you've just put Fred Smith out of a fucking working job. He has no promotion anymore because you can't really afford the union workers. So therefore, in SAG, a lot of actors are non-union actors still. Those non-union actors are not necessarily being able to, let's say, do a guest shot on, The Office. Okay. But a non-union actor can do a film or a web series that isn't under the union contract. And the reason it's not under a union contract is essentially because the money that's coming into the production, they just do not have the means to fund a union contract, because union contracts are very expensive to those people, especially, for instance, when you see a union movie, most of the background actors in that movie are non-union.
Yep.
And it's a way for those productions to still give people work. But if every single actor had to be a union actor on that film, the problem is that the films would never make any money, because
right,
that's a lot of money. So now you're in a situation where you have to decide who becomes union and not union. Which then makes it interesting, because if you're saying the WWE has to be unioned wrestlers, but AEW doesn't, then something's wrong there.
Yeah.
Because.
Uh-oh, Michaels, you're freezing up.
If you're having.
It's okay. It happens when you get passionate. Yeah, just when you get passionate, it's like your internet can't take the passion you have to give. It slows you up.
Well, look, while he's figuring out what's going on, let me jump over to you right quick. Over to you, Sin City. So would it just have been just easier just to not even bother the wrestlers and what they were doing, and just allow them to run what they were running instead of making it harder on them to even cause something like thinking of a union?
Well, obviously, but at the end of the day, they're not going to do anything like that because in their view, the everything about the Zelina Vega character in the WWE's world is something that is created by them or is something that they can monetize. So they want their cut. That's what this is all about. This is all about money and licensing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I understand why WWE has adopted the stance that they have. I don't agree with it though. But then again, that's probably the reason why I'm just a mark on a podcast and they're running a multi-billion dollar company.
But the one thing I can tell you that, and I'll be a King Lucky and claim it because I did say it. I said, Vince McMahon, a long time ago when we talked about this very thing, I said, Vince McMahon is starting to smell how successful a person can be with already a made name for Twitch. And I mentioned Logic, the rapper, who's now a Twitch streamer, Ronda Rousey, who's a Twitch streamer, the Facebook Gaming and Twitch. They're finding people with names already to come on so that someone like me, you say, oh man, I want to be just like Logic, and I'm going to start a Twitch channel. That's enticing for me to be on, you know, to go that way. And I think WWE smelt that money, and they're like, hold on one second, because I'm with Sincere Steve when he says, I see the business aspect, and we made your name, is what WWE is saying. You're profiting off of your name.
Well, look, all I would say is this, and I think there was a part, I guess I can grab the article back up, but I guess they were saying that there were sort of these two different contracts that was out there, one that was pre-AEW and one that was after. And, of course, after AEW, bigger contracts went out to the talent than maybe those that were before AEW who wasn't, like, on the top level of the roster. So my question is, if Zelina is one of the ones that, and I'm just assuming that, of course, before AEW and was on that sort of lower pay scale, not doing house shows. So, look, she's making her money. If that's the case, why not as a business say, all right, fine, we're ending your Twitch account, we're ending your Cameo accounts, but we are going to raise your pay or create a new contract where now it is substantial to where it is after AEW. So you get a bigger amount. How can you make less money? I'm sorry.
Do you want the answer to that? And this is the unfortunate, sad truth. The pandemic hit. So remember, just right at the beginning of the pandemic, it was all about, oh, they fired all these people when a pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. Well, why did they fire them? Because they weren't making the money. They weren't going to have your moneymaker, which is your house shows. Remember, house shows is what made made up a lot of that difference that you're talking about because of merchandise sales.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that away and you take, the gate away from the rest, from the company. Another thing too is, remember, you had to have contracts with these arenas, and the WWE used to draw 16,000, right? To house shows. As the years have been dwindling to smaller and smaller house show gates, that means that the venues cannot give them the same type of deals they did because they were able to make the venues made all their money off of. So when you had 16,000 people, that's a lot of money that the venue got. When you have 4,000 people, the venue is possibly running at a deficit because you're not selling the same type of stuff.
Sure.
For the venue. So you have a lot of different factors. That's why this whole idea is really complicated, because of the fact that wrestling has been able to escape sport or entertainment. They created fucking Vince. You got to give the guy, he created his own fucking field.
Yeah.
Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
And that is like bafflingly has not been addressed or contested into, you know, what this exactly is.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, yeah, you would like to see him bump up the pay, right? Of course. The other thing too is that it'd be hard for Zelina to come back and sue them. Mm-hmm. Because they can now go, well, here's the thing. We brought her over to SmackDown, and now she's a disgruntled employee because she's not getting the same type of character exposure that she got on Raw. So, in fact, she's just a disgruntled employee who essentially wanted to be out of her contract anyway because she went against what the rules are.
Mm-hmm. You can build a case.
They have so much, you know, going for them in terms of their lawyer staff.
Sure.
That this is so difficult for one person to fight. And that's why it's important for if Gabby Cortez actually says, hey, we support you. That's a couple words.
Yeah.
Actions speak louder than the words.
Right.
So it's, you're about to see the potential of the tip of the iceberg finally getting to that point where it's just, when it starts melting, and man, if they were smart in the WWE, if I was Hunter, I would be working on right now a fucking proposition to make a union, because then you can still have your input and control put into it.
Mm. Yep. That's an amazing point.
Yep. Get ahead of it.
Get ahead of it.
Yep. More importantly, and I just want to ask a question. What does Tom do? Alice. No, Aleister Black. His name is Tom.
Oh, Alice. Alistair goes through 8 tables over the next.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, that's absolutely hard. He loses another eye and just comes out with a whole band across his face.
Well, guys, we'll have to definitely keep our eyes on this. No more Zelina with WWE, but no, one thing for sure, I think wherever she goes, she's definitely going to make that organization, pop off for sure. And hey.
One thing we don't know as of right now, because it hasn't been reported, is we don't know what her no compete is, even through a release. Because I'm sure their lawyers put in there,
but even at the release. But I'm sure. I mean, there's still a timeline to that. You know,
she's under a 90 day.
Okay,
it's probably 90.
So
right?
Yeah. She's under a 90 day no compete.
Yeah.
Because we all got surprised when Renee had a 1 year no compete.
Okay, so that's another. Now, thing. That's funny.
Does that's that affect her? Would help. Does that affect her with regards to Twitch and this OnlyFans, which the person who usually with she can't do that either, right?
That's a good question. I would assume that if she uses her legal name.
She have to use Thea.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Probably that shouldn't, because see there's the one point that in a movie or a television show, you portray a character that is written. Mm-hmm. Once you are done with that movie or television show, people might recognize you on the street and go, hey, Mike Scott, Steve Carell, right?
Mm-hmm.
With wrestlers, it's tough because a lot of times wrestlers use their actual name. And when you do that, now you basically, this is why a lot of wrestlers over the years, instead of being John Uso, he changes his name because he can still use John Uso now at any point in his career. And that's very important because it's really, really, really fucked up that you can legally lose a case because they have basically, they said, well, Steve here, the reason Steve is successful is because of the stuff that we wrote for Steve, and we made Steve who he is. But if Steve's real name is, you know, Francis, and he wants to go by Francis, they have a harder time arguing that we built Francis. You didn't build Francis. You built the character of Steve. So it's, dude,
we're going to... Kind of the same thing with Dwayne. With Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Sure. Remember when he first had his movie career, he went by Dwayne. Yeah, Dwayne. He only went by Dwayne Johnson. And then I believe... Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he eventually work out a deal with Vince to have The Rock name, or bought it or something? I don't know what the case was, but I remember he didn't go by The Rock for the Mummy movie.
Actually, I think you're a little fuzzy on it. Initially, he went by The Rock.
Yeah.
The
first one.
It was like The Rock.
Yeah.
And then he went to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and now it's Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Where the whole idea, though, too, is that, listen, we're not talking about... I'm sure Vince is like, if you want to use The Rock, fine, because
the more we
have that connection. But, you know, I mean, Zelina's not The Rock, and a lot of these people who are the ones who... deserve a union are those people who are never going to get to that stratosphere. And that's why the union is important. Oh, and I don't know, healthcare.
That part. Well,
that would be
a part of that. Yeah.
Let's jump into our second count from SportsGita and ProWrestling.com. And it is titled, Seven Pro Wrestling Stars That Will... be free agents beginning of 2021, and also the Roscoes are leaving Impact Wrestling. So what we're just going to do is just name those seven pro wrestlers and just kind of see your thoughts on where do you think they should go, or should they stay where they at? Let's start at number seven with Davey Boy Smith Jr., whose contract ends in December 2020. He is currently in MLW. What do you guys think should happen to Davey Boy? Should he stay, or if you see him being placed somewhere else?
Or New Japan.
New Japan, okay.
I think he'll have more success New Japan. Secondary AEW.
Okay.
I actually think it'd be interesting to see him actually do work with Marquez and go to United Wrestling Network for a while.
Okay.
The only reason I think that too, like New Japan, I think New Japan is a great idea. I also think that the Japanese wrestling fan base might be a little more aware of him. Whereas I think that MLW had a very small window. So go to another company that will give you just maybe a little more exposure. And then, you know, jump to your next level, but it would be fun to see him, you know, battling for the NWA title or, you know, tag team titles or something like that.
Yeah, I could definitely see him, you know, going to NWA, like what you were saying. The main reason why I said New Japan is because he actually has been there as part of the Killer Elite squad with Lance Archer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, he with the added emphasis and the launch of New Japan US and all the great stuff that those guys are doing right now, I mean, they're turning out amazing quality stuff, and it's all available right on NJP on New Japan World, NJPWWorld.com. It's all right there, and it's quality stuff.
And he could actually, you know, you brought up a good point. Listen, both of those, if you're doing championship, you know, the United Wrestling Network, and you're doing the US version of New Japan, you're in the same city.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You could do both. And you hit on a one, like the underdog bet here, which would be freaking awesome. Have him reunite with Archer on AEW.
And also, too, we know that, I don't want to give too much away, AEW and New Japan are going to have a relationship anyways.
Let's jump over into number six. Ethan Page from Impact Wrestling. He's a part of the North. I got to tell you, Ethan is he's one of those guys that's great on the mic. I mean, he could be on fire. I could see him anywhere. But where do you guys think he should stay tagged with in the group, the North at Impact, or would you like to see him elsewhere? Ethan Page.
NXT. I want to see him go to NXT.
Yeah.
I think that he'll be better served at NXT.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see a different side of
him. I can see him there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got enough of an it factor to where he can shine, or at least I would think he'd be able to shine down there in NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be for lack of a good comparison. It'd be like him going from college to get his master's degree. You know, NXT would be the polishing school that if he got that, whether or not he makes his name in WWE, that experience is almost like an Eli Drake type. He can turn that around into the rest of his career.
Yeah.
1,000%.
100% with you on that too.
Now, all of these, are from ROH, and their contract ends at the end of the year as well. So let's talk about it. Number five, Kenny King. Number four, Ryu Lee. And number three, Roosh. And, of course, Roosh is the current reigning ROH world champion. Ryu Lee is the current ROH TV champion. And, of course, Kenny King was a part of the ROH Pure tournament, which we had talked about. But he had lost by decision to Josh Woods in the first round. So, guys,
and DJ, you missed the biggest factor.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny King is one half of the FSW Tag Team Champions with Shogun Jones right now.
Yes, absolutely. So where would you guys like to see Kenny King, Ryu Lee, Roosh go, or would you want them to stay where they at? Let's go.
Kenny King's already going to be leaving ROH. That's my firm belief, especially after seeing him and Shane Taylor. I think that was a send-off match. We'll put that out there first. I definitely will tell you right now, I am going to make a huge wish list, and I think it's going to happen. I think WWE.
For Kenny?
I think WWE. It's a long shot. I know I'll get ridiculed for it, but I think WWE. I think.
Well, all I say is I hope somehow they can work a way for him to take his video and music package, because that shit is dope.
It is fire. I will be sad to see that if it gets augmented.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah. As far as Roosh,
yeah.
I will say if he's not going to stay in ROH because he's on fire, I would say I think he's something that's needed in AEW. And the reason why I'm saying something in AEW because I think he can bring something to the table that's a dynamic of diversity that I don't think AEW has yet. But I say that cautiously because I'm not sure how he would fit. I think he would just have to go for it. Tell him, hey, we're going to take the tracks off. Just go for it. And if it fails, it fails. But I think if it's successful, I think it would be great addition for AEW. He is amazing. And we've seen him live. I think we've all have seen him live. And he would be an addition.
Ryu Lee.
I want to say AEW NXT. But he would also do good to where he's at now if he stays. He's the one on that list that I couldn't make a decision, to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I'll honestly say on the lack of depth that I know him by, I would say from what I've seen so far, ROH is good there.
What do you think, Sin City?
King, I would say I was originally going to say that I would see him staying in ROH, but Simon, you brought up a great point. That match with Shane Taylor, yeah, it definitely felt like a send-off. So I'll take a second and think about that. As far as Lee – I would love to see him back in New Japan without question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dragon Lee, which Dragon Lee should be in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roosh. I could see Roosh going to NXT. Again, he has an it factor. I think that Vince would actually, he would like his look. And I think Paul could do great things with him.
Man, Matt Michaels.
Good point.
And for King, as I'm thinking about it, mm-hmm. For King, I would be cool with him coming in, even to like how they're using Billy Gunn on AEW, and help bring along some of the guys working on Dark. And I think that could actually segue and get him into the main show of AEW Dynamite, possibly.
Yeah.
He's still very marketable. And he's athletic as hell.
Yep.
So yeah, I could see him at AEW.
All right, Matt.
Not too far off with Steve on this. I think Lee definitely back to New Japan. It's so hard to say if there's an upside for that type of wrestler, especially who's not already made a huge national name. Roosh, the thing with WWE is twofold. If he goes to NXT, they might be able to build him up the way that they have with Bobby Roode and those type of guys. But what's to prevent from him getting called up and ending up riding on a fucking lawnmower like super crazy? I'd hate to see that happen. Yeah. I think
it's that, true though. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's true. It'd be kind of cool to see him if he goes anywhere, jump over to Impact for a little bit. And then maybe, work his way over to an AEW or solidify himself a little bit more, so if he goes to NXT, he'll have a little more pull. Kenny, I am going to say that he should re-sign with ROH. Listen, just because he had that type of match with Shane Taylor doesn't necessarily mean that lessens him any bit. You can keep him off TV if you need to for a little bit. The thing is that ROH, for all these guys, the one upside for ROH is they probably have the easiest contract for guys to continue to do independent work.
Right.
So, Kenny is, like I said, he's half of the FSW Tag Team Championship. He can stay here for probably a little bit longer to see his daughter graduate high school. And maybe if she then is going on to college, then maybe he can, then kind of transition into maybe a trainer role, an agent role where he does wrestle kind of like, Kip is doing over in AEW. But again, with him, if it's not broke,
life,
stay where you're comfortable.
You know what's interesting, that you named all those names, and I'm only asking you because you saw ROH this week too. They had a huge package, right? Since you see if you watched it as well, did you notice there was a huge package that talked about most of those names on the list?
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting enough that they're all part of the same.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind too, you've got two of the champions in the list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Roosh is, your heavyweight champion, and Lee is your TV champion.
Yeah.
I mean.
Let's Let's jump over your number two, whose contract is expiring at the end of January 2021, Taya Valkyrie from Impact Wrestling. What do you guys think, man? Does she go over there to Hubby, or does she stay where she's at or elsewhere?
Well, I think that I speak for every AEW fan when I say I would love to have her in AEW without question.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she is what that women's division needs. Yep. But money talks, plus Hubby is with the Empire right now.
Yes.
So, you know, it's, I could see her going, not even NXT, just shoot her up straight to main the roster.
Yeah. All right. What do you think over there, Simon?
I honestly want to see her AEW, because when you think of AEW and what they want to accomplish with the women's division, I think Taya Valkyrie is a quintessential piece. If they can get her in there, you know, with the seasoning she already has in her career, and she's already well known, and she's versatile too. I mean, she could talk on the mic. She can, you know, in ring performance is top notch. I mean, I really feel like she has a lot to offer in an already developing women's division. So I say AEW, but unfortunately, I'm with you, Sin City Steve. Money does talk, and who doesn't want to spend more time with the husband?
Matt Michaels, does she go with Hubby, or you think she stays where she at or elsewhere?
You know, the key is that she has not had the WWE run yet. And let's face it, no matter who says what about anything else, the one thing that if you get into this business to be a success, you want to get there at least once and say that you were there.
Yeah.
So why not? You know, the thing is with AEW, yeah, the division gets better. There's no doubt. But you're already seeing when she had this reign in ROH, ROH and AEW and Impact, they have talent, but nowhere near as much talent. And at least with the WWE, you wouldn't see all the you wouldn't see all the feuds gone through quickly. And I think, unfortunately, that's what happened. And she goes to AEW. You know, she wrestles the top women for the first year. Then what? Whereas in WWE, you at least have switching her over to a brand, having her in NXT, moving her into a tag team for the women's. You have so many different options. You can, you know, use her as a versatile player.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be nice to see her in WWE. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she might surprise us all. One thing that – here's the best thing about Taya. She is very loyal to honoring what she has agreed to.
Yeah.
So, basically, if she signs a contract at another place, expect her to be there for – that term of the contract. She's not going to try to pull bullshit and get out of her contract.
Yeah. So
if she signs with WWE, maybe she only signs a 1-year deal.
Number one, Sami Callihan, his contract expires at the end of this year as well. And we're talking Impact. Sammy's a big name, guys. Where do you think he stays where he's at, or you like to see him elsewhere?
I tell you AEW. One place I don't want to, oh, I'm sorry.
No, AEW. That's it.
Yeah,
just AEW.
I don't want him to definitely not go back to NXT. I don't want to see Solomon Crowe again.
No,
at all. I do not care to see that. I'm happy when he left, and he's done better without that. Me too. I will say AEW. If he doesn't decide to stay where he's at, I would say AEW would be great.
Okay, you agree, Matt?
You know, here's the thing with him. It's interesting because I think Taya is actually the number one
free agent. I agree. I mean,
she has way more of an upside for any company who signs her. Sammy is good, but you know what is interesting is that his in-ring style is very much like Eddie Kingston.
Exactly.
Where, you know, so I mean, AEW being the fact that AEW has almost a weekly gimmick match and and a gig match every month.
Their bloodletting ritual.
Yeah. So that would make, you know, that would make sense. Honestly, before he signs anything to somewhere like AEW, I think again, hey, hit United Wrestling Network for a while. And just, you know, work with some of those guys to build up your wrestling aspect of, you know, credibility again, so you're not just being held one thing and be work on a different dimension of your character. So
yeah,
that's where I see, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how everything fleshes out. You'll probably see some people resign, you know,
yeah,
instead of go, you know, again, stay where you're comfortable.
Guys, how about the wild card, the Rascals? Man, you got, I mean, you got a firehouse right there, man. Where do you guys see where they go? I mean, they're just enjoyable to watch on Impact and been there for a while. You could pretty much say they are Impact Wrestling. What do you think? You think they? Where do they go from here? I as I was scrolling around, I saw some articles saying WWE was interested in them. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, they're great, but where would you like to see the Rascals put in from this point?
Selfishly, NXT, but realistically, I think they would do good in New Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think New Japan's actually a great location, but I think Matt Riddle needs some smoking partners. Send him over there.
Yeah.
Put him with Riddle. Print money. Have a good day.
There you go. Add a new treehouse. Yeah, what do you think, Matt Michaels?
You know, what's very interesting about this proposition is, what if they don't stay together?
Possibility.
Yeah, why don't we spread a little of the magical rascal dust around? let's see. I think just based on. I think that if you look at AEW, honestly, I think that Wentz probably would possibly be the kind of guy you could possibly use by himself there. I think if anyone, I think Trey has the best shot at NXT, and I think that you could put Dez, you know, let's put Dez in the ROH bubble. Why not? Just for shits and giggles, separate them all. To be honest, you keep them together. They're gonna get a contract from either AEW or NXT. There's no way they don't.
Yeah,
they're that good.
Is it still too late to raise one more place? I think would be interesting as a joke, but what if they did do that? It'd be funny. Why have all three of them go to WWE and they get paired up with Ricochet? We'll just call them the Power Rangers or something. I don't know. It really was a joke, but it would kind of be cool to see. Just going to be honest with you.
All right.
I'm joking about the Power Rangers, but it would be kind of cool to see them all. I'm just saying.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, let's jump over into our third count. And these are coming from Pro Wrestling News, Hub.com, Fightful.com, and RingsideNews.com. And all this has to do with the working relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling. The comments that was made with AEW, and then some of the past comments that was made. We kind of briefly talk about that. Let me just first jump over into the article from what Tony Khan discussed. And first off, let's remember that AEW had a work relationship. You know, one of those promotions is New Japan Pro Wrestling, as some of AEW's biggest stars have wrestled there in the past, including, of course, Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, and John Moxley. And your current AEW World Champion, John Moxley, is also the current IWGP United States Champion for New Japan. And in New Japan's top star is Hiroshi Tanahashi, who made an appearance for the La Champion, Chris Jericho's 30th anniversary a video and everything. Also, Tony Khan had recently spoke to TSN regarding AEW's current relationship with New Japan, and noting that since the former president and CEO of New Japan, Harold May, left the company this past month, perhaps more things can get worked out with the two promotions. So I'm just kind of curious on you guys' thought, and the reason why we have other articles here. First off, for Wrestle Kingdom, there's no one from AEW, at least as of yet, that's not on the card. So, you know, Tony Khan is hoping for the best. But 2 months ago, we hear that New Japan and ROH have a relationship. A month ago, we see that Impact Wrestling partnership expected to grow with New Japan. And now we're hearing that there's a good chance for New Japan and AEW to now extend. So guys, where do you, it looks like everybody definitely want to be a part of New Japan here, but what's your take on this? What do you think? Let me start with you, Sin City, on this topic.
Yeah, so I think ultimately, you know, New Japan and their new marketing strategy is going to pay off immensely well. We've discussed on this show that, you know, the most partnerships that you can have, and the more talent exchanges that you can have between, the indie feds, and anything not, you know, WWE is technically indie, even though AEW, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's amazingly smart for everybody involved, because you in this landscape, you cannot just function by yourself and try to compete with WWE or try to take a lot of that market share. I think that New Japan is going about this perfectly because they're hitting every other, you know, mid-major promotion. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, yeah, they come out on top.
Well, why do you guys think, why was it difficult under the old president to not get a working relationship with the AEW stars and New Japan? Although it looks like with the new president, there is a possibility. What was it about the old president that made it not seem like it should work?
So well, there were
Trump,
there
was Trump some is beef. Obviously. Oh, wrong. Sorry.
No, there was some beef surrounding Kenny Omega's departure, and also the Bucks' departure. So that's huge, and that was something that evidently, future proofs past, obviously, at this point. Now that Harold May is out of the picture completely, AEW is wanting to have a working relationship with New Japan. So clearly, a regime change was needed.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Simon Street, just for fun and giggles, we absolutely know that WWE does not have to have any, doesn't need a New Japan at all. But Why not? As you're building this stable with the other wrestling companies, why not add WWE along with that stable?
I'm going to go on a limb, and I don't know if it's a profound thought or what, but I know when I initially got excited for AEW was a lot to do with Double or Nothing. Was it no, before Double or Nothing. When All they in. Talked about huh? All In, thank you. All In. Because I saw a vision of a company working with other promotions, whether or not that could be 100% fleshed out or whatnot. Okay. We know that there's complications and tactics with that, but I think that that's something that WWE as a company, I don't think they'll ever be able to do. Let's just be honest. We all say it. Once Vince McMahon dies, then yeah, maybe we could talk about possibilities, but that's not happening anytime soon. So when you hear about this relationship with New Japan and AEW, it brings about possibilities. Again, I'll say it, I'll label myself for the ignorant fan who may not know. Do you see what I'm saying? Possibilities of matchups, possibilities for people to come in. And we got excited even just with Thunder Rosa when she was the NWA Women's Champion coming in for a small stint in NWA. I'm not sure what the numbers did, but I know I was happy to watch. So I think things like that, having that be a culture of any company, I think it's always going to be beneficial. It's always going to be something that that WWE will not be able to do. Will not. It's impossible. Their company structure does not allow them to do that. Mm-hmm. So again, it's a feather in the cap and a point in the column for AEW and not only for New Japan. I think there's a lot of people now, I think me and Sensei Steve watched New Japan for quite some time, but there's a lot of new people I'm hearing watching New Japan who never watched it. Didn't even know Hulk Hogan ever went to New Japan ever and wrestled a match. Didn't even know that Kurt Angle ever went. They didn't know any of that stuff. And now they're like, wow. So that tells you something of.
Hold on, Simon.
Yeah.
You just kind of fucked your own point.
How to fuck my own point?
Because
fuck a lot of things.
You just said that the WWE doesn't have a potential to have a relationship with.
I mean, currently now. I'm talking about currently now. Is what I mean. I mean currently.
But, but that goes to show though that they have.
They have in the past. And, I probably should have said that. But
the interesting thing is that with that relationship, they were sending their talent over there to boost the Japan market. Sure. They weren't returning anything in return. They weren't getting anything in return. So you're on somewhat of a right arc with that. That's the interesting thing, though. Let me ask you. If you have these ideas of dream matchups, right? And let's say it presents itself that one of their talents comes over, wrestles a match in AEW. It's a phenomenal match. They have maybe, you know, one or two more matches or scenarios. And then they go back to New Japan. What is the likelihood that the AEW fan isn't already watching New Japan because of the fan base that AEW has? Same with ROH, same with Impact. In the end, those new people aren't necessarily bringing new eyes over to New Japan. They might be bringing new eyes onto that watch New Japan, haven't watched AEW yet or any of those yet. But really, in this day and age, the problem is that the internet broke the system. So that really, it comes down to, unless a New Japan talent leaves and goes to WWE, which is bigger news, you know, or let's say, you know, remember when Shinsuke came in, when Asuka came in, you know, it's a little buzz they're going, right?
It was.
If you have them going into, you know, AEW, is the buzz still there? And are you cultivating that wrestler to a new audience, essentially? Because, you know, if they go into NXT or WWE, they're gaining eyes that they've probably not had before.
That's true. Yeah, they enter the machine.
So, yeah, really, what, you know, does this service in long term all the companies involved? And it's a damn shame when a program starts and then you can only see them for a couple months in AEW because they're going back to New Japan.
And we talked about that before in the past when we talked about almost this very subject. You said exact same thing, and I'll give you the same answer I told you last time. That's where it would need to be conditionalized to a certain degree. I would say, and maybe it's just me. I was very happy that taking, for example, Thunder Rosa, you know, coming to AEW, doing a couple of matches, you know, I thought it was fun. If it had happened all the time, I felt like it would have lost its interest. And so I feel that doing it sparingly is very helpful. But you do make some excellent points because, yes, you are exactly right.
One of the things, though, that you're like Thunder Rosa is kind of a unfair comparison because of contractual statuses.
True.
She's kind of playing the free agent game. You know, she's got stuff coming her way soon. Mm-hmm. And what to me lessened that was the fact that Deeb showed up and is now part of their show.
Yep.
So really it wasn't the wrestler as much as the NWA title, women's title. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, again, that's the tricky spot. I think that if you focus, though, on the idea of actual New Japan talent from Japan,
yeah,
then it becomes interesting in terms of trying to build their following here. It's just, what does that translate in, you know, in eyes on your product in AEW, like I said, because you've already got the eyes, yeah, there.
It'd definitely be a lot to work out, you know. I agree with you. I would still be excited to see something like that flourish because, again, and like I said, I label myself to a certain extent the ignorant consumer because I wouldn't know all the ins and outs, but I know I would be excited, but I would stop being excited if it was happening too much. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be as excited initially, obviously. So that would be my thing.
Well, we will look and see how all of this plays out as, you know, a lot of work and relationships means that there's a lot of opportunity that's going to be out there, and it ultimately means it's good for us, right? The fans who enjoy. Yeah. So we'll see how that all turns out, guys. That is our three count for the show. Before we get to our last comments, I want to thank everyone for being on our live comment chat, for watching us on our live feed, or listening to us on our podcast, and again, we are on all podcast platforms. And do us a favor, tell your friends about us. We have tons of product out there or podcasts to listen to, lots of interviews that are there. And you will be amazed because although there are other podcasts that do the same thing, we tend to get a little bit more personal with the wrestler and not so much about, you know, tell us about this match, tell us about this match. But just more of, hey, you know, what's your lifestyle? Are you really going to this location? Are you really eating this type of food? You know, is the dating life really that cool? Is the dog really eating your food? You know, it's pretty fun conversations through all that. Hey, it can happen. Nevertheless.
Apparently it has.
You know what? If you go through all 236 episodes, it could be somewhere in there. So we'll let someone go through that. So we thank everyone who's been riding with us since day one. And if you're becoming day one, we appreciate you too. All right. Our final thoughts for the show. Let's go over to you. Simon Street, what do you want to tell the folks?
You know, everybody, just continue to be safe out there for anybody who's, I'll say a reflective moment real quick. You never know how bad your situation is until you look at another person in a worse situation. Mm-hmm. And let's try to put humanity first and try to help those out any way we can, whether it's food, whether it's comfort, conversation, whatever it may be. This is a tough time. We all in this together. Let's be kind to one another and love and take that first step of really, truly loving each other with action, not just with words and posts.
Absolutely. Sin City.
Thank you to everybody for liking the stream, hanging out with us, listening through the podcast platforms, hanging out in the chat rooms, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
We do this for you. And also definitely a special thank you to all of our brave men and women serving this country on lands, both foreign and domestic. Without your sacrifice, we wouldn't be able to be doing this show. So thank you guys. Absolutely. And special shout out to our boy, the Storm and Mormon. Also repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there. They've got all sorts of supplements, pre-workout, energy drinks, you name it. They've got it. Mm-hmm. Go there. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%. REPPsports.com, promo code Vegas. Thank you.
Matt Michaels.
You know, I think one of the joys of getting to talk to various people is when we talk to you, really just downright fucking phenomenal, interesting people. Mm-hmm. And we just had a conversation with Allison Danger that will be released this Friday. And man, if you're talking just purely a fun, nice, in-depth conversation, it's great. You know, I encourage you to listen to this. If you don't know who she is, please look her up. Do a little studying on her. If the name Carino means anything to you, as it hopefully should, you know, that last name just says it all, man. And when you just hear her just story, just in general, or, you know, her life, and man, it's just it's really a fun fucking time, man. It's mm-hmm. good. It's really fun. So yeah. I really encourage you guys to check that out. As you know, DJ was saying, we have all these different offerings for everyone. And for those who do follow the DeFalco Files this week, we're going to touch base with Jacob Austin Young. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's going to be some good storytelling there, because he's another guy who's been around for almost the whole long haul of Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. And, you know, again, the thing is that we're not, you know, we're not doing this because we are profiteers by any means. We're doing this so that you, the fans, can know more about the person behind, you know, the personas. And we got some interesting stuff you know, coming up down the road here. And you know, again, encourage everyone to just continue to listen, watch, and spread the word, because you know, otherwise, we're still going to do it. And there's going to be, you know, five of us, maybe even just four of us watching it or talking about it. So,
right. Absolutely. Thank you guys again. And we will see you next week. Until then, peace.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.